worship Rita. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. And friend, they will only be washed through the blood of Jesus Christ. I love that. That's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Well, happy Thursday. Good to see you. It's this 10th day of November. Yeah, 2016. It's Joey Kroll with you. So I'll tell you what, I'm still catching up on some rest here. I'll tell you what, we stayed up, oh goodness, Tuesday night into Wednesday watching the elections, and still kind of tired today. Really am. So, yeah, good to see you. In fact, I got this sore throat. I don't know where this thing came from. So I'm dealing with that. So I appreciate your prayers today. But yeah, friend, I pray that you are well and blessed today. In fact, it's been a busy week. I spent some time with Mark on Monday and Tuesday. I was part of the Mark and Friends, the Monday and Tuesday edition. That was a good time. It's always good catching up with Mark and spending some time with him. It really, really is. And talking about the book signing event for my new or debut book, Common Misunderstandings About God, Jesus, and the Bible. And that's going to be taking place next Thursday, the 17th, a week from today, from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Great News Radio Center at the Lincoln Square Mall in Urbana. A free gathering. Plus, come on out, take a look at what God has been doing at the center and the progress that's been made as well, across from the food court right there in Lincoln Square in Urbana. 5:30 to 7:30 next week. And get more details on that, by the way, at greatnewsradio.org. And you'll see that information right there at our website. So what are you doing on Wednesday night, the 30th? Well, hopefully you're going to be making plans to go see the Singing Men of GNN perform the national anthem at the U of I basketball game, Illinois versus Wake Forest. Again, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. It's so neat how God opens these doors for the Singing Men, especially on a secular platform there. So they're going to be singing the national anthem and hopefully have a Illinois victory that night as well. Again, it's Wednesday night, November 30th at 7 p.m. for the U of I basketball game, Illinois versus Wake Forest. You can get more information on upcoming Singing Men events. There's quite a few of them coming up at greatnewsradio.org and click on events. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a busy program today. We're going to be taking a look at the beginning of, the mission of, and the end of our enemy today, Satan. We're going to take a look at his beginning. We're going to look at his present, and praise God, we're going to look at his gloom and doom. We're going to be reminded today of the hope that we have in Christ, despite the father of all lies. That's coming up right after this, here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, right here on Great News Radio.
Christ, who took on the nature of a servant and humbled himself to the point of sacrifice, even to death upon a cross. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that he is Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that he is Lord. In human likeness, willing to obey, the Lord came down to walk among us. His name is exalted to the highest place, above all in heaven and on earth. At the name of Jesus, there
Thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends here on Great News Radio here on this Thursday. And I'll tell you what, most people underestimate his power and his influence in society. Many people believe he's just a bad guy with a pitchfork and a red tail who encourages people only just to lie and steal. In fact, he's the force that motivates people to abuse men, women, and children. He's the force behind every kind of evil in this world today. His name is Satan, and he is very real. And today we're going to be talking about our enemy, Satan. In fact, Satan was actually created as a holy angel. Did you know that? Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to 15 talks about Satan as a holy angel. It says, "You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You were anointed. You were the anointed cherub who covers or guards, depending on which translation you have. And I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created." And that many theologians consider Ezekiel 28 as a prophecy, a dual prophecy of the king of Tyre and of Satan. And we see here that Satan was an angel. Look at verse 14. "You were the anointed cherub that covers or guards." So many people believe that Satan was likely the highest of all angels. And he was also beautiful. Verse 12, "You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." He was also had the seal of perfection, according to verse 12. Verse 15 says, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created." So he was beautiful. He was perfect. He was full of wisdom. And yeah, we're talking about Satan as he was created as a holy angel. So what happened? Ezekiel 28, verse 15 tells us, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground." Isaiah 14 picks up the fall of Satan, who was a beautiful angel and full of wisdom and beauty. Isaiah 14 verse 12 says, "How far you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Whew! He became arrogant in his beauty and status and decided that he wanted to sit on a throne above that of God. So Satan's pride led to his fall. He says, "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Satan was not satisfied with the high position that God already gave him. He desired to usurp God's throne and sit on it himself in the place of the Messiah. He allowed pride and arrogance to enter his heart. He wanted to be like God or even above God. And I know some of us know what that's like, because many of us, including myself, we want to be the God of our own life. It's my life. It's my ministry. Those are my talents. This is my day off. That's my money. And if we're not too careful, we may become like Satan, who wants to be like God. Because of sin, God permanently removes Satan from his exalted position and role. Satan rather be a king in hell than a servant in heaven. So he had his beginning, he had his fall, and Satan even today has a mission statement. Did you know that? In fact, the mission statement here at Great News Radio is to educate, edify, and evangelize. That's our mission statement. That's our heartbeat here at Great News Radio. But Jesus told us Satan's mission statement. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." The enemy wants to destroy families. Yeah, we've seen that over the last several years. In fact, he comes to destroy marriage. I mean, the door of marriage is open so wide that anyone can get married to anyone they want. I heard a famous pastor say one time, "Anytime you counterfeit something, you devalue it." The reason why the government won't allow you to make your own currency is because you would devalue the real currency. You make it less value. And the same thing with marriage. If you open the gates of a man marrying a man, or a woman marrying a woman, or a man marrying his favorite pet, you make marriage whatever you want it to be, and you devalue marriage. In fact, throughout the scripture, God refers to the church and his people as the bride of Christ. So if God uses the imagery of marriage as how he relates to his people, of course Satan would want to destroy marriage. Or going back to the family, he comes to destroy and ruin families. If you look up any study, it will tell you that the way a child views their earthly father affects the way they see their heavenly father. So, of course, the enemy wants to get the man out of the home, wants men to believe the lie that they don't need to take the responsibility. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. We also need to remember that Satan is a liar. Oh, friend, this is so important. Satan is a liar. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil." He's talking to some Pharisees and teachers of the law here in John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of all lies." Jesus told us two things about the enemy. He's a murderer and he is a liar. He wants to bring murder and death to purity, murder and death to your joy, murder and death to your happiness, murder and death to your fellowship with Christ. He wants to bring spiritual death, physical death, emotional death, and eternal death. Jesus said he is a murderer. He also called him a liar. Called him a liar. Satan is a liar, and he does it so subtle, too, don't he? Really, he does. I mean, the most clever lies sound most like the truth. Any good liar will use a little bit of truth and dunk it in a bucket of lies. I mean, a broken clock is correct twice a day. Amen? Satan is a liar. Before you sin, Satan says, "It's no big deal." Afterwards, he says, "This is so big, you can never be forgiven." Both are lies. In fact, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been or where you're at, you're never beyond the hand of a loving God. He loves you. Friend, he loves you. Satan is the twister of truth, the father of fallacy, the shifter of scripture, the prince of perversion, and the slanderer of the saint. And while he is those things, we need to remember that Satan is a created being. Ezekiel 28, verse 15 says, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created." Satan's a created being. In Genesis chapter 3, Satan came on the scene as a serpent. And it says that the serpent was the most craftiest of all the animals that God had created. Satan is a created being. His power is limited. Jesus told Peter in Luke chapter 22, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat. Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat. In Job chapter 1, God gave Satan permission to take what belongs to Job, but said, only do not put forth your hand on him. In Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 5, and Luke chapter 8, Jesus commanded a legion of demons to enter into the herd of pigs. In Job chapter 38, verse 11, God says he limits the waves of the sea. He says, thus far you shall come, but no farther, and here shall your proud waves stop. And in the same way, there are boundaries and rules that Satan must abide by because he is a created being. So if he is a created being, therefore he has a creator. And some folks ask, how could a good creator God make something so evil and wicked? Why did God create evil? And God did not create evil. Remember, we just read that Satan was created as a beautiful, perfect being until unrighteousness was found in his heart. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, he was talking about Satan one time, and he says, so how much power does Satan have? Only as much as God allows and not 1 ounce more. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, all authority has been given to me. Not 99.5%. Not 99.6%, not 99.7%, not 99.9%. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And probably one of my all-time favorite verses is found in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. It says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. Friend, there is coming a day where temptation will no longer be a thing in your life and mine. Satan has his expiration date coming to him. He will have his final doom. You know, in an art gallery in London hangs a portrait of a chess game entitled Checkmate. On one side of this chessboard is the devil, full of laughter. His hand is posed, ready to make the next move, the final move. And on the other side of the chessboard sits a shaking, frightened young man, sweat coming down from his forehead, mixed with tears pouring from his eyes, and one day a chess champion from another country visited the gallery, and the painting naturally caught his eye. So he stood there and examined the portrait for a very long time. People were coming and going, and right before they were about to close the gallery, people in every part of this enormous building heard a loud scream as the chess champion yelled, yes, you have one more move. You don't have to lose. See, friend, what the chess champion had done was discover another move that the man could take, a way for the young man to not only escape checkmate, but to deliver checkmate on the devil in only just a few more moves. Friend, I want you to know today, on this Thursday, I want you to know that the devil does not have the last move. You are not fighting for victory. The game has already been won through the cross of Jesus Christ.
awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Oh, that's right. Our God is an awesome God. And all God's people said, hey. Mad Fred, thank you so much for your time and attention today. You can always catch up with me. I love to hear from you. My email address here is joey@greatnewsradio.org. Again, that's joey@greatnewsradio.org. Well, praise the Lord. Tomorrow is Friday. Mark and Jason will help you get through your Friday tomorrow morning at 7:32 a.m. Central Time. Until next time, friend, just remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.